Okay, so I'll run straight in, and then when I've finished, we're going to do a joint Q&A session. So please do feel free to scribble down your questions, ready to ask Chris in hopefully about 20 minutes or so. For those that don't know me, I'm Emma Kelso. I'm an associate partner in our wholesale markets team. And my job today is to talk through, I guess, what Ofgem is doing, particularly on the market side in terms of policy work, and also a little bit about our view of what the outlook is, not just specifically for this winter, but over the coming years as well. Okay, so to just kick off with, I guess, the main messages that I wanted to get across today, so you can watch out for them during the presentation. I guess similar to Chris, you know, just to really emphasise the point that we see markets tightening. So that means inevitably that the risks, potential risks to security of supply will receive increasing attention in the coming years. Ofgem's got an awful lot of work on at the moment, and our wholesale market policies in particular are really aimed at a sort of two key themes, and those are two themes that I'm hoping to bring out for you. One is around enhancing security of supply and incentives, particularly for the market, to deliver that. And the other one is just in terms of promoting a competitive, well-functioning market in a general sense. I will touch on the retail side of things as well, whereas I should think there's nobody in the room that hasn't noticed that we've put out our RMR proposals, conclusions, and implementation's begun on those now. And I'll also touch on smart metering. Okay, so to start off with the key charts, if you like, from the capacity assessment that we put out in June of this year, I've pulled out here the two biggest, most important charts from that presentation. So the one on the left is the derated capacity margin, and the one on the right is the loss of load expectation chart. And the two points I really wanted to make here was to draw attention to, I guess, the shape of the charts and the range of figures within them. So perhaps if we start off with the shape, if you look at the margins chart to the left, you can see that our capacity assessment is suggesting a fall-off in margins between now and the middle of the decade. So seeing margins coming to sort of fairly tight in terms of historic levels, potentially falling to around that sort of 4% or lower, depending on which scenario you look at, and then kicking back up and becoming a little bit more comfortable towards the end of the decade. The LOL chart shows the flip side of that. So obviously the tighter the margin, the greater the expected loss of load that you would see. And then the second thing really I wanted to emphasize here was the spread. So the red line shows our reference scenario. We deliberately didn't call that a base case because we wanted to emphasize that we think there's a lot of uncertainty in our projection. So really, depending on what assumptions you assume, you can get potentially quite a different outlook here. So depending on whether you go with National Grid's gone green scenario, whether you go with something with a much flatter demand, so for example, assuming that we don't see as much energy efficiency or that we see a faster pickup in the economy in the coming years, and also the green line, which shows, again, a supply-side sensitivity. So basically trying to get across there's lots of uncertainty in terms of what we may see happening in the market over the coming years. So moving on just to touch on the picture on gas. Back in 2012, we produced a gas security of supply report for government, in which we highlighted a range of risks to security of supply. I've listed some of the main ones on the slide here. So on the GB side, talking as Chris has already alluded to about the decline we're seeing in UK continental shelf, the uncertainty around the role that gas may play in the generation mix, particularly at the time that we did this piece of work. On the European front, again, a similar theme to us around increasing import dependence, and the theme about LNG and its importance comes, I think, across both for us, for Europe as a whole, and Chris has already alluded to the potential tightening that we're seeing in those markets, particularly between now and when new liquefaction facilities come online. The point just towards the bottom there, I think, is important to note. We did very much emphasise in our report that we do see the overall risk of supply disruption to firm customers as being very low. And since we produced this report in 2012, our overall view has remained pretty much the same. So things are tightening. Some reasons for us to be paying a bit more attention in this area, but still that overall risk remains pretty low. Okay, so moving on to talk about policy. What I've tried to do on this chart is illustrate, if you like, on the left, the mass of wholesale and retail markets projects that we've got going on at the moment, and try to show how they all link in really to either individually or as a whole to achieve two goals, which are the blobs on the right. So one is around improving incentives for security of supply, and the other one is around promoting competitive and a well-functioning market. It's a little bit stylized, so please don't pay too much attention to exactly where the lines go. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that there's a lot going on, and it's all trying to build towards achieving these two key goals. I'm now going to try and run through very quickly each of the boxes on the left. So I'm not sure whether I'll get through it all in the time that we've got. There is information on each of these issues on our website, and obviously we're more than happy to take questions and to try to help if there are any questions that remain unanswered. Okay, so starting off with gas SCR. The gas SCR, or Significant Code Review, is a piece of work that we launched probably in earnest over 18 months ago now, so it's been running for quite some time. And what we're trying to achieve here is really to try to provide as strong incentives as we can to ensure that we get the efficient level of security of supply in the market. And we're looking to do that specifically by unfreezing cash-out prices. So many of you will be aware that what we see at the moment in the market is that if we do enter a gas emergency, the cash-out price is actually frozen. Now, if you're trying to create an incentive for as much gas to flow into the UK as possible, freezing the price logically doesn't seem the right thing to do. So we're looking to unfreeze that price to allow it to rise so that there's an incentive for people to bring more gas into the country. We're also looking to strengthen incentives generally on industry by making sure that customers are paid if they do suffer an involuntary curtailment. I should note, as I said before, that we see the chances of this happening is very low, but we think it's right that the risk, if you like, should sit with the people that are best able to manage that, and our view is that is industry as opposed to customers. It's not been an uncontroversial piece of work, and I know that some of you in the room will have been involved in the discussions we've had so far. We've been working very hard with industry to try to come up with a package that is going to achieve what we're looking to achieve as effectively as we can. And we've recently consulted on the potential introduction of a demand-side response tender. And that's a piece of work that we'll be continuing to take forward. We're looking at the responses that we've recently had to consultation on that at the moment. I think the demand side is a theme that I wanted to bring out in particular here. It kind of crops up, if you like, across a lot of the work that we're doing, and I know that it also crops up in the work that National Grid are doing in terms of the potential new balancing services that they're proposing. We see some real opportunities here for the demand side to get involved and help in terms of addressing security of supply, and I think that's a very positive development. So moving on to electricity, SCR. So we launched the electricity balancing SCR a little bit more recently than gas, so it's running on a slightly slower time frame. But again, at its heart, the aim is to try to increase the incentives that we have to ensure efficient security of supply. And really what we try to do here is to make sure that the price signals are as I guess, as cost-reflective as they can be, with some concerns that we originally actually identified during our discovery project back in 2009-10, that the way that the market works at the moment, we're concerned that the cash-out price is dampened and it's not particularly responding to the realities in the market. So what we're looking to do is to try to sharpen those incentives so that if we are facing tight margins, we're able to see the industry respond to those. So what we've done is we've consulted on a package of four proposals, which I've set out next to the red box. So those are around trying to make cash out prices more marginal, moving from PAR 500, which is the average price that's used in cash out at the moment, to PAR 1. So quite a significant change there. Looking to include a cost for disconnection into cash out prices using an estimate of vol, or value of loss load. Improving the way that reserve costs are allocated by using a reserve scarcity pricing function. We're hoping that will more accurately pin, if you like, the costs of reserve costs to the actual periods when they're used. And moving from a dual system to a single cash out price regime. Implementation for both electricity and gas SCR, we're looking to get them in place for winter 2015-16. Now, I know that seems quite a way away, but obviously we're looking to conclude on both of these projects over the course of the coming 12 months. So we're hoping that in itself will be able to send a strong signal to the market so that they will be able to gear up, if you like, for the changes that are coming and to allow time for the system changes to be made. So I think I've already mentioned that we've been consulting recently on gas. On ELEC, we haven't actually reached the end of our consultation period yet, so if anyone does have any further comments that they want to feed in, there's still time to do so. I should note just at the bottom there that obviously we're very conscious of the interactions between the electricity and gas SCRs, and that's something that we'll continue to look at closely. Okay, moving on now to talk about REMIT. Again, I think this is a theme that will be fairly familiar to most of you through the room. So REMIT is essentially an EU regulation around wholesale energy market integrity and transparency. It actually came into effect in December 2011, and we now have our powers. We've got our powers over this summer to be able to monitor and enforce against those regulations if we need to. So what I've done below in the orange boxes is set out what we'll be seeing in terms of changes and what our role is in this area. So in terms of monitoring, people that are defined as regulated persons now have obligations to retain certain information, which Ofgem can request to allow it to monitor the market. If we have concerns, our new powers allow us to then investigate particular instances by requiring information, entering premises, and so on. Should we conclude from an investigation that there's a case to answer and we need to take that forward, there are a range of potential outcomes. I think the one I would most like to draw attention to here is the one around unlimited penalties, because that's different from the penalty regime that we see more generally in terms of Ofgem's enforcement license conditions. And then just to note at the bottom, we will be producing our decision on penalties and procedures guidelines this autumn, so that's something to look out for. Moving on to liquidity. Again, this is, I think, a project which has been running for quite some time. It actually had its roots back in the retail markets review work, which we kicked off, I think, back in 2011. Really, what we've been trying to do in terms of our liquidity project is look at how liquidity might be presenting a barrier to entry and to competition, both within the wholesale market and also in the retail supply market. In June, after a lot of consultation with industry, we published our final proposals, a package of proposals which we are referring to as the Secure and Promote License Condition. And the diagram below just shows the three key components of the Secure and Promote License Condition. So each of them are linked to trying to address the three worry areas, if you like, that we identified through the liquidity project. So the first one was around making sure that there is sufficient availability of products which support hedging within the market, particularly for smaller players, for new entrants, for people that aren't vertically integrated. And the way that we're looking to do that is through a supplier market access rules, which will apply to the big six and will also apply to a couple of large independent generators. The second objective was around trying to ensure that we have robust reference prices right along the curve. Those of you that have been watching this particular project may know we had concerns that while the nearer term market seems to work relatively in a relatively liquid way, the further you go out into the future, the less liquidity we see. So that's what we're trying to get at here. And after much consultation, the way that we're proposing to achieve this is through a market making obligation, which will be in place for the big six. And then the final third obligation is relating to the objective around ensuring that the near-term market remains effective. So I guess this is part, if you like, of the secure bit of secure and promote. We have seen during the lifespan of the liquidity project quite a bit of very positive reaction, including for some of the bigger players in the market. So we're looking to, I guess, secure that and make sure that that keeps going. So really what we've done here is to try to introduce some extra reporting requirements to make sure that we're able to monitor how the market is doing in that area in particular. So our consultation here is now closed. We're considering responses at the moment, and sort of all being well, we would expect authority to move to issuing statutory consultation in the autumn. Okay, so moving on now a little bit more to our European dimension, to touch on the work that we're doing on European network codes. That work is ongoing, and for those of you that are involved in that area, you will know it covers there's a wide range of codes that are working gradually towards implementation at the moment, and which we think should be particularly effective in terms of improving the way that the market works. Also, we've been doing a piece of work jointly with the Belgium and Dutch regulators, looking at how our interconnectors work, our gas interconnectors. And the chart here is really trying to show, I guess, the concern that we had when we did this piece of analysis in 2012. So what you should see is you should see flows, really the dots, which represent actual observations, should match with the red lines on the chart. So you should see zero flow down on the bottom left if the TTF price is greater than the price at NBP. And we should then see that kicking almost instantaneously over to flowing in the opposite direction if the price on NBP is greater than TTF. And in reality, what we see, as you can see, is quite a range of blobs. So what we've been doing is to try to look at what the differences, what the reasons are for those differences. We're quite confident that the new gas network codes, particularly CMP and CAM, should help to address the capacity utilisation issues that we've identified. You know, I should stress, I guess, that this particular picture is focusing on BBL, whereas IUK, we did find was generally price responsive. So I think, as I was saying, we think that CMP and CAM will help address this issue. We're also doing further work with our colleagues, the Dutch regulators. And we've also recently instigated a review of gas transmission charging regime, which should also help us to understand whether the way that charges work are.
I'm just going to take over and finish the rest of the presentation. So, gas interconnectors. One of the findings we found was that the commodity charge impacted on gas flows. So in order to consider whether we can do something about the commodity charge, we've instigated a gas transmission charging review to look at the whole picture of gas transmission charging, see if we can do anything about that. I think the consultation responses are all back and in the process of being considered. Moving on to the future trading arrangements, which is a great big project looking at how the future of the electricity network and the wholesale market should interact. started with a consultation letter in February 2013. We've developed this with a forum, had lots of responses and interaction from the forum, and following that, we have identified several work streams that we're going to be taking forward, including looking at locational pricing, enhanced intraday trading, ancillary services, the impact of the loved financial regulation, institutions, the interactions with the gas market and the flexibility of the gas market to deal with things like volatility in gas demand with enhanced wind generation, etc., and longer-term market arrangements and incentives. Retail market review, as Emma said earlier, the retail market review is now fully in operation. The intention is to make things simpler, clearer and fairer. Suppliers are going to be limited to 4 tariffs per type, and there will be no new measures to simplify tariff structures. Sorry, there will be new measures to simplify tariff structures. And introduce a new enforceable standards of conduct and additional consumer protection measures. Alongside those, there's smart metering reforms that are coming in. Government's leading the smart metering implementation phase with advice from Ofgem. Ofgem's monitoring the compliance regulatory framework and enforcing where it's appropriate. And I'll let you read the rest that's on there. Okay, overall, kind of bringing things together, our aim is promoting security supply with a competitive, well-functioning market. Our 2013 capacity assessment highlighted tightening margins. Our gas security supply report in 2012 highlighted that there were a wide range of risks in the market, although it's generally well supplied. There's no reason that we should be complacent. We must be aware of global events and potential issues, especially around access to LNG. We're expecting greater volatility in near-term wholesale prices, especially if there are unplanned outages, which generally goes without saying. We appreciate that the sort of volatility that you see in wholesale markets is a good signal for markets to react, as long as they can react to those price signals. And we have seen, especially on the gas market, March last year, when we had an outage on IUK, prices did go up, but the market did react, although some of you will be aware, you know, there was a fairly tight period and a few nerves, but the market did respond well. We continue to monitor closely the developments in security supply and the impacts on consumers and look for emerging opportunities, especially on the demand side. So, for example, exploring the demand side response tender for the gas SCR work. And just to bring it all together, ongoing work is looking at the supply chain aimed at promoting security supply, having a competitive, well-functioning market, with a range of reforms across the wholesale market, reforms now on the retail market, and looking at smart meter rollouts.